Okay, open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The reason I'm saying that twice, because you know I'm the world's worst. Somebody they'll say 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy or something, and I always turn to the other one, or I'll turn to 1 Corinthians, like 1 Corinthians. I turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 15, and when the preacher starts reading, I'm like, what Bible's he reading from? It ain't mine. Oh, wait a minute. I'm in the wrong place. So, I thought about that this week. One of the classes I'm taking right now at seminary, that's one thing the instructor, he says, make sure you mention several times what scripture you're reading from. And I said, yeah, I got that. But we're looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning. We're going to be reading out of verses 1 through 11. And, we're in week 3 of our Who's Your One series, and by now I hope that the Lord has revealed to you who the one person is that He wants you to pray for, who the one person is that He wants for you to invite to church. And I want to ask you, you know, who is the one that He's calling you? Who's the one that He's calling you to just pray for every day? Who's the one that He's calling for you to share the gospel with? Someone to share the good news and the truth of Jesus Christ with. How many of y'all have already done that this week? Shared the gospel with somebody? How many of you already prayed for somebody this week and are praying for them on a daily basis as we go through this? Someone, you know, it could be somebody you encounter daily or somebody that you just know or that doesn't know the good news of Jesus Christ. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's an enemy, somebody you don't really like. You know, and maybe that's who God has laid on your heart to pray for this person. And maybe through that to increase your love for that person that you don't really have that much love for. You know, but you just know that they need the grace of the Lord. And maybe you need a little bit too through the process. Maybe it's somebody you don't get to see every day, and maybe you get a chance to give them a phone call and maybe share the gospel that way. Or at least tell them that you're praying for them. I'm telling you, people sometimes either they love it or they just don't know what to do with it. But they usually don't hate it. You know that you're praying for them. I've told y'all the story before how I told that to a trooper one time in a parking deck. I said, man, I prayed for you this morning. I hadn't seen him in a while. And he says, well, I don't know how to take that. And I said, well, just take it, man. God laid you on my heart this morning. I wanted to pray for you. And it's okay to tell people that you're praying for them. I hope that as we've been going through this series that you, brothers and sisters, you recognize the fact that He calls all believers to share the gospel. All believers who are all followers of Jesus Christ. He expects us to share His gospel with other people, to share His message with other people. He commands us to do that. And we've read the last 2 weeks out of Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, to go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. And in the last 2 weeks, we've talked about this one mission of sharing the good news that Jesus tells us to do with others. And the one message of the good news, how it is to be delivered, how it delivers us from our sin and through the grace that He gives us. And because of His work on the cross, and the one message of eternal life that we can receive by having a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we've been talking about over the last 2 weeks. And this week we're going to talk about the one declaration of the gospel. The one declaration of how Jesus came so that we could have a gospel to proclaim. So that we could proclaim that gospel and have... And you've heard me say before that we need to keep the main thing the main thing. You know, we talk about that. Well, one of the main things, I'll tell you, the main thing that Jesus has for us to do is to share His love, to share His word, to share His gospel, to share His good news with other people. The message of how Jesus can save them just as He has saved us. That's the main thing for us to do. And we do that as a church. The main thing that we have is to, we need to do is to glorify God and to make Him known, to do that, to do what we have to share the gospel and make disciples of Jesus Christ. That's our mission, and that's the message of the gospel. And every time the church gathers, the gospel should be clearly declared. And we're going to declare the gospel today. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And in our text today, Paul is going to explain to us that the gospel is the most important message that we declare, and that he defines it for us just what the gospel is. So we're going to go through that this morning in verses 1 through 11 of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. So if everybody will stand as we read God's word. And starting in verse 1 of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, it says this. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, He was seen by James, then by all the apostles, then the last of all, He was seen by me also as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who I am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe." This is God's Word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Holy God, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Father, that we can read it, that we can study it, and we ask You to help us to understand it, Father. Open our hearts to what the message is that You have for us today. For it's these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So as we read this, we're going to be reading this declaration of the gospel this morning. And Paul declares in the first two verses of our text the significance of the gospel, and why, in other words, why it's so important. Why it's so important that we understand it. Why it's so important that we share it. In verse 1 he says this, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand." So here Paul says he declares the gospel. Remember, this is a letter to the Corinthians from Paul. Paul had been in Corinth before, had been preaching and teaching to them before, and now he's moved on and he's written this letter back to Corinth to teach them, to continue to teach, and to continue to encourage them. And that's why he says, he's telling them to remember the gospel that he declared, is what he's telling them to do when he says, "I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received and in which you stand." And he says that they received it. So Paul reminds them of the good news which he had preached to them, which they had received. And he describes how the gospel can be of benefit to not only them, but to all men. And the gospel is not only of a benefit, the gospel is only of a full benefit if it is received. Now, how do people receive the gospel? Well, somebody's got to tell them. Right? I mean, unless they read it for themselves out of God's Word, it takes someone who believes in the gospel to tell them. That's why Jesus tells us to share the gospel. Remember last week we talked about in Romans chapter 10 how we have an obligation to share the gospel. Remember Paul said that I am a debtor to the Greek and to the barbarian, to the wise and the unwise. Remember when he said that? And that debt is that obligation to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the same obligation today that we as believers have. You know, we just see that. We read that last week in Romans. In Romans chapter 10, it also says this. It says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how can they call on him who they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? So when we read that, that means that that means we've got to be telling them the gospel. They can only hear the gospel when somebody tells them. And then it says, how can they hear without a preacher? Y'all may be saying, well, I guess that's your job, preacher. No! It's all of our job. If we are believers in the Word, if we are followers of Jesus, then He calls all of us to share His gospel and to preach His Word to those who don't know Him. And that's what He calls us to do. He expects us to do. He commands us to do. We can also read in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. It says that the message of the gospel, it talks about how the message of the gospel must first be believed and embraced. And when Paul wrote a letter to the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he says, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. So we are to receive the Word in faith. We are to believe the Word of God in faith, and we are to obey it. Okay? And if we're followers of Christ, we need to be obedient by sharing this same gospel to others. And then he also says in this verse here, he says, I declare the gospel which I preach you, which also you receive, and in which you stand. This message had been preached to them, and they had received the message of salvation, and they now stand in that word of salvation. The Corinthian Christians stood in the gospel despite of all the stuff that was going on there. Remember, we've read out of Corinthians in here before, and I'm going to tell you, in the church at Corinth, what they had took issues with in that city of Corinth, there were issues of carnality in that city, a lack of understanding. They had strife. They had divisions. There was immorality. There were things that were evil that they were having to contend with. Just weird spirituality stuff. You know, we deal with stuff every day, don't we? That's why we need to stand in the gospel. We need to stand firm in God's Word so that we can withstand the wiles of the devil. And that's what He's calling the church at Corinth to do here, as they stand in the gospel that they had received. That's just the same thing as the church of today. We need to be reminded of the gospel. We need to be reminded of whom we first believed and why we first believed and why Jesus Christ is the Lord of all, why He is the Savior of sin, and why He saves us and grants us eternal life and deliverance from sin. We need to be reminded of that from time to time. I know sometimes folks say, you know, Brother Jay kind of says the same thing every Sunday. Yeah. Probably there's some things I do say every Sunday. But it's important that we continue to hear that so it can stay at the front of our mind. It's We need to understand that it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we can receive forgiveness. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we can be delivered from our sins. It is only through the blood of Christ that we can receive salvation. And only the blood of Christ can wash away our sin. It was this gospel that Paul had preached and that they received, in which now they stood in. This is the gospel that's proclaimed and that we're called to believe and that we're called to proclaim today. That we are to declare His Word and declare Him as King and to declare Him as our Savior. That's what He calls us to do. You got to ask yourself, do you believe in the gospel? You know, it says in verse 2 of our text, it says when it's talking about the gospel that He preached, he says, by which also you are saved. And if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So he's talking about the whole gospel here. The whole gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's through that gospel that we're saved. You're saved. It's by the gospel that you're saved. If you cannot come to know God except through faith in Jesus Christ, which is a response to the gospel message. Look, whenever the gospel is given, there always has to be a response. You know, that's why we have invitation. You know, there was a couple years ago, I preached in a Presbyterian church down in Florida. Guess what city in Florida it was? Leesburg, Florida. It was so funny when we got the call to come here, I said, man, we've already been to Leesburg. But I got asked to speak at a men's event, and then the preacher at that church asked me if I would preach on Sunday. And I said, yes, sir, I'd love to. I said, but now you know I'm a Southern Baptist preacher, right? He says, well, maybe more Presbyterian churches need Southern Baptist preachers. That's what he told me. I couldn't believe it. And at the end of the service, you know, Presbyterians usually don't have an invitation. We had an invitation that day. So at the end, I said, I even told him when we finished the sermon, I said, I know this is probably different than what y'all do. Can we sing a song? Is that okay? And I looked at the pastor. He was sitting on the front pew, and he says, yeah. I said, let's sing a song, and I want to see if anybody needs to make a decision for Jesus Christ today. Now, nobody came down the aisle. I don't know, a couple hundred people. It was, but nobody came down the aisle. But I'm going to tell you, the gospel demands a response. When you receive the gospel, it requires a response. There must be a response to the gospel, and that is that you either believe or you don't believe. It is that you either accept the gospel or you don't. You can't come to know God except in faith through Jesus Christ, and that is a response to the gospel message. Salvation comes through belief in the good news of Christ's death and His resurrection. It takes the whole gospel to be saved. Okay? And that's why when Paul writes here in verse 2, he says that you hold fast. They are saved if they hold fast to the Word. As he indicated throughout this letter to the Corinthians, Paul believed that saving faith would set itself apart from insincerity through time. In other words, this is what I'm saying. When there is true salvation, it's forever. You know, some people have a question as to they lose their salvation. I'm telling you this, brothers and sisters, true salvation is from now on. If you question your salvation, you need to go back and read in the Scripture and you need to pray to God if you had a true salvation. Look, let me tell you, there's something I've started doing the last couple of years. Last couple of churches I've served at, we've started baptizing folks a couple of times. And it's gotten me to the point now where when I lead someone to Jesus, when I share the gospel with them and they make a response that they're saved, after we get through praying, I say, okay, I want to make sure you understand what you just did, because I don't want you coming back to me 2 or 3 years from now saying, I don't think I was saved. And you know, that may sound a little intense, but those of you who know me, I am a little intense. But I want to make sure that people understand the decision they're making for Christ, because the gospel requires a response. It does. And not everybody believes that, but it's true. And here's the thing that we also have to understand. We've talked about this. We talked about it last week about how, as when he says this, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, this is kind of like something what we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. That salvation is something that we continue to work through. Now that, look, that doesn't mean that we get saved by our works. We're saved by grace. But as we grow closer to the Lord, as we grow closer to Him, we do that work. We study the Word. We continue to understand what it is that Christ is doing through us, because this work of salvation also comes with this sharing of the gospel. We've got to understand what we're sharing with people, how to talk to them. Remember last week we read about that it was faith to faith. That's faith from the beginning to faith to the end. That's what that is. Remember we talked about that last week, how we read about that in Romans chapter 1 verse 17, how God is revealed from faith to faith. From the time you first have faith in Him to the time you meet Him in glory. As we hold fast to our faith in Jesus, we hold fast to our faith in Jesus from faith to faith. Remember we also talked about last week from strength to strength. We read that in Psalms. And also we talked about last week that we have faith in Him from glory to glory. We read that in 2 Corinthians 3:18. And then also in Philippians 2:12, we read this. It says, as you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. As we continue to grow in Christ and hold fast to His Word. That's what Paul's talking about here. That we continue to do that. There may be a question of it. If you come down to the altar and make a decision, and then by the time you walk out the door, you live the same way you did before you came down to the altar, then there may be a question of true salvation. Because true salvation comes from faith. It comes from putting your faith in Jesus Christ and then continuing from strength to strength to work through Him, to hold fast to His Word. Brothers and sisters, that's what we've got to do. In a time like it is right now, in a society like we're living in now, where there's war, and there's drugs, and there's people making more decisions for themselves rather than for the Lord, we need to hold fast to God's Word. We need to hold fast to our salvation. Can I get an amen, church? We need to hold fast to the glory of God. Remember that. We've got to hold fast. And that's what Paul's talking about there. And Paul, it says that Paul delivered the gospel that he had received. He says in verse 3a, for I delivered to you first of all that which I have received. And what he's talking about here when he says that which I received. Paul didn't make up this gospel. It's not just something he grabbed out of the air. He heard it from Jesus Christ Himself. It was revealed to him by Jesus and not by some man. It was revealed to him by Jesus Christ. It says this in Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. But Paul wrote this too. He says, I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it. But it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. This gospel we're talking about today is the gospel that was delivered by Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about here when he says this, when Paul writes this. In our text, it says this in toward the end of verse 3, it says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the meat of the gospel right there, brothers and sisters. That's the meat of the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried according to the Scriptures. He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Then we read in the next few verses how Paul declares that Jesus appeared to several witnesses when He was alive. So we know that this resurrection story, we know that it is the truth. It is of God. It's not of men. It is of the Lord. And it is His gospel. And it is affirmed. And it is true. And it is correct. Now, why is it so important that Paul writes about all of these people that Jesus appeared to after His erection, after His resurrection? There in verses 5 through 9 that He appeared after His resurrection, because it proves His resurrection. It's eyewitness testimony. That's what it is. It's eyewitness testimony. You see, there was a question as to the resurrection among the Greeks in Corinth. But if there's, let me tell you this. If there's no resurrection, then it means Jesus is still dead. If there's no resurrection, then it means preaching is in vain. If there's no resurrection, it means the New Testament writers are all liars. And if there's no resurrection, it means your faith is worthless and you are still dead in your sins. If there is no resurrection, it means that all who have died are forever gone. That's why the resurrection is so important to be shared in the gospel. Look, we're getting close to Easter, y'all. That's Resurrection Day. And we get to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But if there's no resurrection, then Jesus is just a man. He was a man, but He was also God. And His resurrection is the overcoming of our sin. And without that, we're still all bound for hell. And that's why the resurrection is so important, to be shared in the gospel when we share that good news with people. And that's why we need to labor in the gospel. It says in the last two verses of our text, it says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." I always think of Popeye whenever I hear that. I am what I am. And you know what Paul's saying there? He's saying, you know what? It says, "But by the grace I am, by the grace of God, I am what I am. God has made me what I am." That's what he's saying. "And His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God." There it is again, talking about the grace of God. What he's saying here is, he didn't accept God's grace in vain. He is what he is because of God's grace. I am what I am today because of God's grace. You are what you are today because of God's grace if you believe in the Lord. If you have surrendered your life to Him, you are what you are by the grace of God. And look, this grace we're talking about, this faith we're talking about, it's not just some kind of a matter-of-fact thing. It's not just something flippant that we just throw out there. It's the basis for salvation. You have to have faith to receive that grace. You have to have faith in Him. That's why it says this. It says in verse 2, "Unless you believed in vain." If you believed in vain, then maybe it is flipping. If you're the one, like I was talking about earlier, that made a commitment, walked out the door, and just continued living the same way with no change, then that's what he's talking about, by belief in vain. But it's that belief, that faith, that grace that puts us, like we talked about last week, that puts us under His obligation to share, under the obligation to share the gospel. That's why Paul did it. He had a deep obligation. He labored to serve Christ who saved him. And that's what God expects from us. If we're going to stand up here and say that we're saved, that we're believers in Jesus, that we're following only in Him, and we've surrendered our entire lives to Him, then you know what? We need to show it. We need to show it through our obligation. We need to show it by sharing that gospel with others. But you got to understand, the drive of Paul himself that drove him to do the Lord's work, to share the gospel, was this faith in Him, this obligation in Him. And that's what it should be with us. It says there in verse 10 again, it says, "But the grace of God which was within me." It was the grace of God that drove him to do the things he did. For the grace of God, it's by the grace of God that we're obligated to share His gospel, that we are all united in our testimony to the gospel and to the resurrection of Christ. It is by the grace of God that we receive and give the good news. Do you know the good news? As you sit here this morning, some of you may not know the good news. Well, you know what? To hear the good news, you got to hear the bad news. Right? This is what we're studying, church, right? Before you hear the good news, you got to hear the bad news. And the bad news is our sin separates us from God. Because God can't be around sin. It says in the Bible that the wages of sin is death. So what's the payment for sin? Death. And that's bad news. But it's not the worst news. The worst news is this. There is nothing that I personally can do about it. I can't do enough work to work off my sin. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, but it is the gift of God." So the only way I can have my sin removed is by accepting the gift of God. And that's the good news. The good news is this, is that at the cross, Jesus did all the work to save us from our sin. We couldn't do it ourselves. He died on a cross. He shed His blood to pay for our sin. It says in 1 John chapter 1, the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. And that's good news. Because there's nothing, because like I said, the worst news, there's nothing I can do to save myself. The only one who can save me is Jesus Christ. And that's good news. But the best news is this, is that through faith, we can freely receive forgiveness, and we can freely receive deliverance from our sin, and we can freely receive eternal life. It says, I already quoted for you, the wages of sin is death in Romans 6:23, but it says at the end of that, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's a free gift. Like all gifts should be. You can't just pay for it. You got to receive that gift of grace from Him for free. And there's a way to do that. The way you do it is you have to surrender everything to Jesus Christ. You have to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You have to believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. And if you do that, you'll be saved. It says that in Romans. It says that in Romans 10:9. So look, this morning, church, as we wind this up, where are you at today? Are you a Christian who is truly surrendered for Jesus? Are you truly answering to your obligation? Are you sharing the gospel of Jesus with those who don't know the gospel of Jesus? Are you sharing this gift of grace that He gave you? Are you sharing that gift of grace with others? How about it, Christians? And for those of y'all that don't know Christ, maybe you need to just start at the beginning and surrender everything to Him. You need to understand that you're a sinner. But you can be saved by grace this morning. All you have to do is surrender your heart to Him and start a relationship with Him. And then start that, and then after He saves you, you can start that work to start serving Him. So let's do that.